I'm not sure where to start. It's been a while. It's been several months since I've done any recording. I have been doing a lot of journaling by hand. A lot of journaling. Like, I started a streak of writing daily journal entries. They usually go average around 3 or 4 pages a day, sometimes more, depending on what's going on. Sometimes I'll hit 6, 7, or 8. And I started that, like, I had been journaling sporadically, but I started the daily thing on March 28th of this year, 2022. And it's carried on. I haven't missed a single day since then. I've done at least 1 page a day since then. And that feels pretty good to be able to say. I've got a good solid record of my life over the course of this year. But I haven't really done any audio recording. The last was in March, was early March, with the Radio Free Shambles episode, That's Better. I had to look on my records and see, because I keep track of this stuff on my own, as well as it being kept track of on the OnSug network, on the OnSug website, Overnightscape Underground. And, the last one was, like, I think I released it March 6th. And, off and on, it's been kind of itching at my brain, thinking, I just I would like to record some more. Maybe not to the degree that I have in the past. Like, I don't know if I'll be releasing, a show every couple of days or anything like that. I don't even know if I'm thinking of this as a show. It's just, it's a recording, It's a recording for the archives. And today, as I'm recording this, it's Saturday, October 22nd, 2022. We are definitely into autumn. We're into Halloween season, and I'm going to a haunted house tonight. Going to a haunted house with some friends from my local theater crowd, my theater fam. They invited me, and I'm like, I have not been to a haunted house. The one where, actors are running it and pretending to be the ghosts and the witches and the, warlocks and whatever critters there are. Critters? I don't know. I haven't been to one of those in over 20 years, I think. I remember going to one, back in the day, probably about 20 years ago, maybe a little bit less than 20 years, 18, I don't know. My journals weren't nearly as meticulous at the time as they are now, so I can't really trace. There were whole years that I barely wrote anything, And then there are other years that I wrote like crazy. I go back and forth. It's the same with these shows, where I'll release a ton of them, and then I'll disappear for 6-7 months, And that's just, I've tried to be more consistent and, more constant, as they say. I don't even know if I want to be called Shambles Constant anymore, because I don't know if I'm quite that same guy that I was, 10 years ago when I was releasing a show a day or whatever it was. But I don't know. Let's give it a go. So this is the next Radio Free Shambles episode. I think it's episode 271. I think 270 was that's better. I might be wrong in my numbering, but I think I'm accurate on that. It's about 12:47 p.m. A little afternoon. I just ate lunch at Logan's Roadhouse. Logan's Warehouse? No, Logan's Roadhouse. Logan's, yeah. And it was very good. I enjoyed it. And, you know, I had my recorder with me, and I thought, I'll give it a go. Let's go for it. I recorded something. Well, I mean, to say I haven't recorded at all is not entirely true, but it's been very little. Like, I recorded, like, going on a walk one day in September, just kind of rambling, but I didn't even keep that track. I deleted it. Because it didn't make a lot of sense. But gas is $4.03. Jeez. But that's a concern of the day world. I'm more into concerns of the night world. I'm trying to evolve. Trying to not let my everyday anxieties overwhelm me. I'm trying to be more spiritual and figure out just what I believe about life and the afterlife, particularly. Just what I believe. So, I don't know. Anyway, I'll just kind of talk for a little while. I'm heading over to visit my mom. I'm going to help her clean the gutters on her house. It's a gorgeous day. Gorgeous.
Glorious day. Glorious day. Yep.
Wait, what else did you say? Oh, my God. I haven't listened to Vic and Sade in a while. I am... I'll listen to some more. You know, it's I'm a person who operates in cycles. Like, you know, I do things to excess, and then I back way the hell off for a while, then I come back, and I back, you know, and it's just what I do. And I can't control it. I can't stop that from being the case. I just need to let myself just operate on whatever whim I have going, I guess. For my creative soul. Oh. So, I've done some theater stuff. As I said, I just mentioned my theater fam, and I branched out this year, and auditioned at a different local theater than the one I usually work at, you know, where I usually work on shows and stuff. And it was a 10-minute play festival. We had eight 10-minute plays in the course of the night, you know, the course of the show, you know, we'll say, that ran like four weekends actually. And I got cast in four different ones out of the eight. Three of them I got cast for the entire run, and the other one, I was cast as an understudy for another actor who, was going to be out of town one weekend of the show, of the run. So I got to do four different plays, and, it was an amazing experience. It was really nice. So much so that I then auditioned for the next show that they were doing, which was a one-act play festival. It was three one-act plays. And I got cast in that too. Along with my wife, we got to actually share the stage and in the same play and kind of act as love interests on the stage, which was That was fun. That was a very interesting experience because we attacked the whole acting thing different ways, kind of from different directions. And you know, she handles it more seriously, and you know, she's very kind of focused, and I'm just kind of having fun with it. I'm just enjoying it, you know. I like kind of clowning around with it. Like, I, you know, I'll be serious about the part, but you know, it's more, I want to make sure that I'm having fun with this stuff. So so it was an interesting dynamic, you know. It was the first time we'd ever shared the stage together. So we did that, and both of those were this summer. The one act plays were put on in June, and no, I'm sorry, I said that wrong. The 10-minute plays were put on in June, and the one act plays were put on in July. The one act plays were done as like staged readings, meaning that you actually carry your script on the stage, and it's more giving like the just like a vague idea of what a finished show would be. You know, it's a different art form, you know. So I mean, we would still walk through the scenes and stuff, and we, you know, but so it's just a different approach to it. And I don't know, my usual method with acting is I like to get the part memorized as quickly as I can. Because once I get it memorized, then I can really start having fun with it and really dive into the characters and stuff like that, you know? Before that, I never quite feel comfortable until I know the whole part, you know, cold. And with a stage reading, you never get to that point because you're carrying your script. That said, my part was relatively small, so I basically knew all my lines and just had the script with me and just kind of glanced down at it a couple times. But I basically knew the part by the time we did performances. So, during the first show, the 10-minute plays, I got COVID. It took me a little over 2 years, but I finally freaking got COVID. Not that I was trying to, but like, you know, after that, like, you get through like 2 years of a pandemic, and you start thinking, well, maybe I'm immune and I'm never going to catch it. Nope, I got it. I got it, and I missed like 4 days of work, like almost a whole week, and I felt miserable for a day or two, and I had to basically camp out in the upstairs because there was like a day and a half where I was positive and my wife and daughter were still coming up negative. So I was trying like hell to stay. I tried so hard to keep them from getting it, like, and I was like basically a prisoner in the upstairs bedroom, you know. They would bring me food and like knock and be like, dinner, and then like put it like in the hallway, and I would wait until they'd get well out of the way before I'd open the door to get, I'd be like, opening door, you know. It's like, and there was like a day and a half of that where they were testing negative. And my wife would be sleeping on the couch, and you know, they were just like staying away. Finally, like I tested positive on a Saturday early afternoon kind of thing, and then that Sunday night, I think it was, so like almost a day and a half later, my wife texted me up, you know, from downstairs, and goes, "You might as well come on down." She's like, we both just tested positive. So, like, we tried so hard, and it, you know, it just didn't fly. And so, you know, I'm not sure how I got it, when I got it. You know, it's almost impossible to know because I didn't have a direct exposure that I was aware of. But I gave it to them. So, you know, we all just, like, bivouacked down and, like, just, like, kind of settled in for a while and for a few days, just stayed home and, you know, did the whole the lockdown experience. And you know, I mean, we had plenty of groceries, so we were fine there. But you know, and I ran a fever, and I was otherwise just really tired. You know, I had a cough, but you know, and then I was afraid that I'd given people in the play, you know, in the 10-minute plays, I was afraid I had made them sick because I'd been around some of them. But As far as I know, I didn't. As far as I know, none of them got sick because we were wearing masks in the theater whenever we were there. So that worked out, you know, well. I watched a lot of Doctor Who that week. And I worked on my lines a lot. And that I basically memorized all my parts. You know, it was like about a couple weeks into the rehearsal process. And, gas here is 376 at Casey's. I go down to town. So I memorized my lines. Like, I just, that's about all I had to do. Like, I just watched TV and, you know, working on lines. And I got them down cold. And then got back and, you know, like, we had to do a couple of rehearsals over Zoom, which is, you know, just difficult at best, you know. That's it was just frustrating, you know. It's like, it wasn't working right for one of the actors, and it was, you know, like this whole thing. So then I got better. Anyway, so those two productions I got through, and during the summer I got an offer to run sound at my usual theater for Steel Magnolias. I had done one show before running sound about a year ago. Did Elf the Musical, and it was my first one, you know, my first experience with the soundboard, and it was a trial by fire because it was like getting thrown in like all at once. Like, here you go. Like, they were like, you know, they needed somebody. Like, the theater was just getting back on its feet at that time, just starting shows again after COVID lockdowns for a year. And you know, I had reached out to the producer, who's a friend of mine, a good friend of mine, and I said to her, like, do you need any help on it? I feel the need to get out and do something. And so she said, yeah, well, we need somebody to run sound. I said, I haven't done it before. And she's like, well, you know, you can be trained. It'd be just fine. It was a trial by fire. It was difficult because that show, well, running a musical, for one thing, is more complicated because you have music, obviously, than, you know, because we have, you know, pre-recorded music that we play, and then, like, the actors will sing wearing, you know, microphones, like, wearing, you know, body mics, and, you know, there's a matter of, like, modulating their voices over the music, and it's all the, you know, so it was, you know, it was a crash course, and it was very frustrating for a while, because I felt like I was not getting it, and finally, you know, kind of midway through performances, I started feeling like I had kind of got my groove, you know, for that one. Around that time, I also ran props, or helped run props for another show there, Curious Incident of the Dog of the Nighttime. And then I had a few months where I didn't do anything theater-wise. You know, you take a break. Again, I do things for a while, and I go in cycles, and then, like, I take a break, and I come back, and whatever. So I, like I said, I had run sound before, and then the director of Steel Magnolias, the first show of this season for, you know, for our theater, you know, came to one of the other shows I was in and said, you know, we need somebody to run sound. I know you've done it before. Your wife mentioned that you had done it before. And it's like, would you like to? And I slept on it because at the time I was like, I'd never want to do this again. But then I thought, you know, it's not a musical. Steel Magnolias is not a musical. Maybe it'll be easier. And I talked to a couple of other people, and they said, yeah, it would definitely be easier. So I said, sure. And it was a great experience, actually. I feel like, and they used body mics for that one too, but there were only six people in the cast, like six, you know, six women in the cast for Steel Magnolias, and that's it. And so it was relatively a lot easier, and I feel like I got a really good groove going with that show. And you know, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, so Steel Magnolias, I did that one. And then I got offered to do, to run sound for another show, which is called Sweat. I get it set in a factory, and I guess I haven't even read the show before, but I guess it's about like race relations and stuff. And the director offered, he's like, we need somebody, and it was basically the same kind of thing. And I was like, I got Steel Magnolias under my belt. Let's go for it. So I'll be running that one, sound for that one. We should be having a meeting soon, but we haven't had one yet. They had said we were going to have one like early October, but here we are in the latter half of October, and we haven't had it yet. So, but auditions for that one will be in November, and you know, it's always difficult to do a show over the holiday season, you know, and get ready over the holiday season when you've also got Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever you celebrate at the time, and like New Year's is in there. And January will be performances for that one. I think it's a slightly bigger cast. I think it's about 10 or 11 cast members, something like that. I don't know. Some plays they use body mics, and some they don't. Some they'll just have like stage mics, like choir mics. So I'm not sure which way this one's going to go, but either way, I feel pretty good about it. And so I got that going for me. And then who knows? I don't know what I'm going to do after that. There's some other mitigating factors that are, because I got offered to run sound for the next one, which is a musical. It's like Cinderella the musical. And I'm not able to do that one for because of reasons that I don't really want to go into right now. So basically that's where it stands right now. So I'm waiting for the next show to start up, and we'll get this thing going again. It's fun. I found that I enjoy it. And it seems like a natural after I've done all these recordings, and I know this is amateur I've never done this professionally in any way, shape, or form, these kind of recordings, so I haven't been professionally trained or, all that kind of stuff. But, I feel like I've learned a little bit by doing these kind of recordings over the years, and, kind of knowing what sounds good, what doesn't sound good, I don't use the best equipment. This is like kind of on a little Sony handheld recorder that I'm using right now. But, I think it's fine. People seem to enjoy it, They do. They seem to enjoy it. So that's where it stands now. And, oh my God. Yeah, the trees. I know that's like a, there's a transition. No, it was like a lot of oranges and browns and, yellows in the leaves of the trees that are to either side of me as I'm driving. So, and that's what I've been doing there. What else is going on? Oh, my daughter learned how to drive. We taught her how to drive this year. She's 16. We had difficulty scheduling, driving school during the lockdown and the pandemic and all that stuff. And so we got, it took longer than we normally would have. She would have had her license by now, but even so, she's gotten a lot of practice this year driving. And, she's been driving on her permit. She'll be able to get her license, in December. So what they do now, they don't do like they did, back in, when I was a kid, back in my day, but, where there's a relatively short time at the time, for, learning how to drive and getting your license. Now, like, you get a permit and you can only drive with your parent or guardian, for a period of 9 months, whereas I don't remember what it was, when I got mine, but it was a lot shorter amount of time than that. you know, they have to go through a lot, and they have to have like 50 hours of driving, you know, which she's got to be close by now. I'm not sure exactly where, but she keeps track and pretty meticulously, and you know, she's pretty close now, I think. But so yeah, so and she's kids driving. I mean, she's, you know, in incrementally in stages, she's gotten. You know, she went from, like, the first couple times we were just, like, in a parking lot. And, you know, we've gradually built up to driving on the road and driving, you know, on the highway, driving at night. You know, the whole thing. And she's gotten really good at it. You know, she's cautious, which is good. She doesn't really, she doesn't take a lot of risk as far as, like, she doesn't try to speed and stuff like that, which is definitely good. So... Oh my God, she's gonna be 17 in December. I don't know. I think about that and I'm like, how's where is the freaking time gone? You know, where is time gone? Because when I first started doing shows on SUG, I was doing Anybody's Guess and the Shamble Show, Eclectic Symmetry and all that. Like, you know, she was little. I mean, she was when I started, she was like what, 6? Yeah, she was about 6 years old, and she's almost an adult at this point. You know, she's on her speech team, she's in orchestra, plays the cello. They had a concert the other night, and she had a solo in one of the songs, and she's looking into colleges, and all the colleges are sending her, you know, like, sending her out their mail and stuff like that, trying to get her to go to their colleges, and... You know, so I don't know what she's gonna do. I don't know. And they were, my wife and daughter were talking about it the other night, and I'm like, "Well, she's got time to figure that out." They're like, "She really doesn't have a lot of time at this." I'm like, "Oh yeah, she's into her junior year. Yeah, I guess she should probably." You know, like that's always like in the. That's like I was on like driving force. It's like, "Oh, she's got time. There's plenty of time. Oh, we got time." But you know. We are getting to the point where she's... Oh, God. So... Then I think about, you know, I don't feel like I'm 47, which is what I am. You know, I either feel, like, in my brain, I'm either, like, a lot younger, like I'm still in my 20s, or I just turned 30, you know, in my head, or I feel, like, incredibly old. Like, I just feel like I'm freaking, like, Methuselah, like, ancient, you know? And I don't know how to feel about that either way. It's just, it's middle age is what it is, you know? Because, like, you know, I'm not young and I'm also not old, even though everybody my age is like, I'm old. Like, even people, you know, and they're, like, late 20s, early 30s are like, I feel old. And I'm like... Hold my beer, you know. Some of my friends that I'm going to the haunted house with tonight. Like a couple of them are like in their early 30s, and you know, really very important people in my life. And you know, I'm just like, wow, you know. I remember I still sometimes feel like I'm the age you are now. You know, this kind of thing. But I don't know. Life is weird. Maybe I feel old because I think I have an old soul. Like I about 90 to 95% believe in reincarnation at this point. During the lockdown, I read a lot about reincarnation. Like I read several nonfiction books of like people talking about, you know, near death experiences and you know, well, this was kind of thing and. You know, talking about theories about reincarnation and, you know, these therapists that have, like, hypnotized their clients and, you know, traced them back to other lives. And I've gotten to where, like, you know, I'm like, it kind of makes a lot of things make sense. Thinking about reincarnation, thinking about if it's true and if, like, afterlife is true. Like, I don't want to think that this is all there is. I refuse to believe that this is all there is. There's got to be more than this, you know? There's, like, too many stories that seem to coincide with one another about near-death experiences and about the afterlife and such, you know. Because I'm getting to the age now where, like, a lot of my aunts and uncles are passing away, and like that generation are getting older, and my mom recently turned 75, and she's doing really well. She gets around really well. She's not one to want to like go on these long trips and stuff. She doesn't really do that. She basically does what she wants to do, she seems to be pretty happy in life. I mean, there's worries and stuff that, family members being sick and stuff like that, she's worried about. A lifelong friend of hers just passed away in the last 2 weeks, and we went to the visitation. And this friend, that she had known her for like 60 years. I can't even imagine. What was that? It was a weird noise. I'm almost there. And so just thinking about all that kind of stuff, it's like, you just want to think that I don't know if I believe in the Christian God as such, but what I seem to keep getting back to is that, the afterlife is the afterlife, and it's like, that could mean different things for different people, and, I think reincarnation is a thing. I think ghosts might be a thing. I don't have any verifiable experiences with that I know of. There was one time that I thought that I saw my father's ghost about 10 years ago. But that might have just been that I was just barely awake and I thought I saw something in my brain, so I don't know. I don't. And even I remember that same day I was recording about it, and I was like, within hours after it happened, I was like, I am never going to know for sure in this life. I'm never going to know for sure if that was actual, like, a ghost sighting, or if it was just, I was like kind of in a half awake dream state. So I can't say for sure I have had encounters with the paranormal, but I have friends who say that they have, and I have no reason to not believe them. And I don't know. I just would like to know more. And if I could just be assured that there was an afterlife of some kind, it would be a comfort, I've watched some like YouTube videos recently of people talking about near-death experiences and being very confident that that's what happened, and that they, had seen the afterlife or heaven and then been sent back for whatever reason. It's like, it's not your time yet. And I think there could be something to that. I really do, because a lot of the stories seem to coincide with one another. Like, they don't directly, there's not a direct, there's nothing direct within them that you could say, well, this, that contradicts this other one. And there's a lot of common ground between the various NDE stories, near-death experience stories. It's fascinating to think about. And I bought a book that I haven't read yet, but I bought a book haunted sightings, in my town where I live, in central Illinois. And I'm looking forward to reading that book. That might be a good Halloween read, Recently started reading too again. I went through a bad reading slump this year. It was weird. In as much as I've been writing a lot more, but like, I've not felt like reading very much. And I just the last couple of weeks I started back up again. I'm keeping like a book journal, just writing down, how many pages I read a day, just to keep track and get an idea. I seem to be averaging about 30, 35 pages a day, which is pretty good, but I do want to pick it up, pick up the pace a little bit. It's a really nice break in the day, and it's also good for your brain, it's good for your brain to read, to do puzzles, do freaking Wordle every day. I've been doing Wordle. I'll get like a streak of like, you know, 20, 30 days. Like my longest ever streak is 66 days in a row where I've got the puzzle. I figured it out within six guesses. You know, basically what it is like you have to figure out that there's a different five-letter word each day that you have to figure out what it is. And you make guesses until you narrow it down. It'll tell you what, you know, what letters are in the same position. Those will come up as green. And what letters are in the word but are in a different position in the word, those will come up as yellow. And every so often we'll hit one that's like, it's very, you know, there's a lot of common letters to a lot of different words. And then you keep making guesses that, you know, and then you get to where like, okay, nope, didn't get it. And that's it, you know. And then you start over, basically. You know, you're starting over with a new streak. But I don't know. It's a silly game, but I can't help it. I keep doing it each day. And I'm like, you know, every so often I'll like miss a day. Like I'll forget or get busy or whatever. Like that happened during Steel Magnolias. Like I just got busy and I didn't get around to doing it. And then like the streak, you know, like it, you know, you have to start over again at zero, and it's just so frustrating. I think my current streak is like 7. It's like I missed a word last week, like a really, you know, like a word with the position of the letters that I had. There were a lot of different words that could fit that, you know, that those same letters, and so just. Anyway, but that keeps your brain active, and it keeps, you know, I want to try to keep my brain active and, you know, try to avoid, like, dementia or Alzheimer's as I get older and stuff. I don't want all that if I can avoid it. So, all right, I'm almost to my mother's town where my mother lives. And I'll probably do some more recording later. I don't know how long this is going to go. Usually I just kind of let it go organically of like, you know, what feels right, you know, what feels like, okay, that's a complete show or recording or, you know, like I say, I almost feel a little weird calling this a show right now. It's just a recording for the archives. So, I don't know. I mean, it is a show. It is a show, you know? Oh, yeah, it is a show. This is John Lovitz. I'll see you after the show. You know. Ugh. Alright, 25 miles an hour. Speed checked by radar. Radar O'Reilly from MASH. He checks your speed. Then he's like, here's the report I wrote up. You know? He's like, I already made those arrangements there, Colonel. What the hell am I talking about? I don't know. I'm talking about freaking radar. I love MASH. It's a great show. Ka-thunk. Going past the Ball Diamond. My nephew used to play T-ball when he was a little kid. Now he's 40. My nephew is freaking 40. Yeah, he's only 7 years younger than me because my sister is a lot older than me. That's always weird to think about. My sister was always like more like my aunt growing up, and my nephew was always more like my brother. You know, because of the way the ages fall, which is fine. You know, that's just the way it was. You know, what can you do? So I'll be at my mom's house in a minute. Gotta go to the bathroom. We'll get those gutters clean, and I don't know what else is going on. I'll go home later, maybe just kind of chill out a little bit. Actually, I might need to do some cleaning. My wife was gonna do some cleaning while I was gone. She wanted to get me out of the way so she could, you know, she could work on it. she likes cleaning by herself. You know, she's like. She likes to have the house to herself when she does it, so she has some weird rituals with it or whatever, I don't know. makes pagan sacrifices. Anyway. So, I'll be back. Thanks, you too.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.